I think that if you live in Baltimore, you must have a rat story. I bet you, all of you, have longtime Baltimore residents, have some kind of rat story. But there's something about this story that I want you to know. It's actually very important to the story. And that is that this is actually a love story. So when I was in my 20s and I first moved to Baltimore, I lived in sort of Brooklyn Park, kind of on the edge of Anne Arundel County. And it was the first time that I ever met anyone, and these were my roommates, that I ever met anyone who had had a pet rat. This, to me, was astonishing. And I fell head over heels with them. I mean, they are pretty, pretty great pets. I know. Don't. I know you guys are all a bunch of doubting Thomases. Trust me. These are great. They're great pets. I fell head over heels. I, of course, had dogs growing up, but the rats really wormed their way into my steely heart. And, you know, the thing about rats is you can never have just one. They're a lot like goats. You have to always have two. And, of course, we always had two, and we made them little rat salads, and I built them little, you know, crazy-looking cages, and, you know, they're really wonderful, sweet and loving and incredibly charming and funny. And did I mention sweet and charming creatures? They really are. They're actually incredibly clean. What's interesting about rats is that street rats are really no different from pet rats. So the rats that you see at the PetSmart, they're in fact no different from the guys cruising around the back alleys of Charles Village. So there are some small evolutionary differences, but they are essentially the same. They're pack animals. They really need each other to survive. So that was my first experience with these guys as pets. I really, really loved them. We were really crazy. We called them our babies too, Jeffrey. We really did. They were our little babies. And even one winter when we had one rat die, we actually entombed that rat in the freezer until the ground thawed so that we could bury her in the spring in the yard. I mean, we were dedicated. So that was us, and you know, there were always other creatures there, you know, and if there weren't rats, there were sometimes cats, and you know, when there weren't cats, there were sometimes rats again. And if you fast forward about 8 years, you know, or 10 years or so, at this point, I'm living in Northeast Baltimore, and I had a dog. I don't think we didn't have rats at the time, but I did have a couple of kids, and they were kind of rat-like, actually. Yeah, kind of. Maybe cute, maybe even cuter, and we're in this big house, and the kids are there, and I also had at that time I had a mother's helper named Sasha, and Sasha lived on the third floor of my house, and in exchange for room and board, she helped with the kids a little bit too. And around that time, you know, kids when they're 8 years old, they're always like, I need a furry creature. Aha, mother says, I have the perfect furry creature for you. No dumb guinea pigs for us. Oh, no, we are getting rats. So we go to the PetSmart, and we pick out these two, you know, lovely candidates. One was an all-gray rat. I believe his name was Raston. And another one was a hooded white rat. I'm sure you've seen them. They just have a black hood over their heads, and the body is white. And his name was Mr. Rat. And we brought them home. And I will say this about pet store rats. They are more often than not snake food. And I know it's a drag, and I always felt somewhat virtuous saving them from the PetSmart, except that they weren't always the best bred creatures. And so these two were literally probably the worst rats we had ever had. They bit the children. Mr. actually terrorized and then eventually did, you know, help the other rat meet his early demise. so we're left with Mr. and we're left with Sasha, and you know, we're living in this house and we're all there, and Mr. did fine on his own. He really did. Despite their deep social natures, he actually did okay on his own, but he was unpredictable. He was terribly unpredictable. There were a lot of bloody fingers and a lot of tear-streaked faces. And it was, you know, he didn't actually get to free range a lot in our house like a lot of our other rats did. He got lovely rat salads, but he didn't get to run around a whole lot. And, you know, we're hanging, the rats are fine, and fast forward a little tiny bit more, and then the weird things start to happen. It's hard to explain. It was a slow evolution. Loaves of bread, just entire loaves of bread gone, or dragged to the entire other end of the house. Squashes, like pumpkins, with, you know, giant gouges out of them. I mean, I know I had a mouse problem, but I really did not. I just didn't think. I didn't think it could possibly be the mice. I started even to blame Mr., except that he was hardly ever out of his cage. I mean, how could I blame him? But, you know, this crazy things all started to happen. I had no idea. I really just had no clue what was happening. And then suddenly Sasha saw it. And Sasha saw it, I remind you, on the third floor of our house. And it was a rat, and it was not Mr. Rat. I'm almost viscerally reacting the way I did in the moment. Deeply passionate about my pet rats. Overly horrified that there's one in my house. God knows, one, it turned out to be far more than that. A lot of Googling, how do you deal with this? But that it was so terrifying, and at the same time, almost embarrassing, actually. I don't think I spoke to a single person about it. I couldn't imagine that anyone else had had this experience. Of course, now I know that, like every other person and their uncle has had this experience in Baltimore. It's really not that big a deal. But it took some time, and it took some time to narrow down where they were coming in. But the craziest thing happened. What really drove me over the edge was, we left Mr. Rat out for an afternoon, and when we came home, it's when I found him. And there he was. He was dead, and I didn't even know what originally had happened, but when I turned him over, I saw the bite marks on the back of his neck, and that's when I lost my mind. That's when I lost my mind. And the best way to deal with rats in your house is to actually trap. I mean, you can poison them, but I really felt strongly that that was not the way to do it, so I trapped them. And this took weeks. It took weeks to trap them all. And in the end, I think we must have trapped not 8 or 9. An entire colony. An entire colony. I mean, it was insane. At some points, I was alternately enraged and shaking at the same time until I finally got them all. The thing they don't tell you about traps, though, is that it doesn't always kill the rat. And that was the hard part, really, because I just couldn't stand to kill something I love so much. I mean, it was really, I admit I did get over it by the ninth rat, but I'll tell you the first one when it happened. When it happened, Sasha and I were upstairs, and it was the first trap I had put, and I heard the snap. And this is a big trap. It's not a baby. It's a big trap. And Sasha and I both run downstairs, and it's not dead. It's like flailing around on the floor with the trap still attached to its body. And Sasha's like, here, take the shovel. And I'm like, no, I don't know what to do with it. She's like, hit it. I just put a bucket over it. I left it alone. I didn't touch that bucket for 10 days. I did get braver in the end. Afterwards, I just, one quick whack. It was a lot easier than the bucket. But in the end, it was 9 rats, and it had to be the entire colony. It had to be the entire colony. And they were coming in through a French drain in the basement, which I couldn't seal until I was sure they were all gone. It was single-handedly astonishing and terrifying. And it was a long time before I could even think about having a pet rat again. Very, very long time. I given away all the cages. I have no more gear in the house. But I tell you, about 2 years ago, Zoe said, "Hey, Mom, how about a..." Thank you very much.